We talk it over with Ben Fredrickson every Friday on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, and we're brought to you by the good folks, the doctors at Blue Tail Medical Group, considered some of the nation's top experts in the fields of sports medicine and stem cell regenerative therapies. Doctors Bays, Crane, and Wolf, experts in stem cell regenerative technology, and doctors from all over the country. They're traveling to Chesterfield Valley to learn how they are doing it. They are the experts. So whether you're a high school athlete, a vet, joints have been worn by age, before you think about surgery, think about how you have the ability to heal yourself. 636-778-2900, 636-778-2900, and visit them at BlueTailMedicalGroup.com. We say good morning to Ben Fredrickson of the Post-Dispatch. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well, man. Happy Friday to you, and happy spring training. Last Friday without spring training games for Cardinals fans, so it's kind of like a holiday here.
It really is. This Sunday, you can see the game on Fox Sports Midwest, our first televised game of the spring, a number of those coming the fans' way. I think the first thing I just want to see is Nolan Arenado in Cardinal red. I really do. There he is. Man, there he is on a Sunday playing third base for the Cardinals for probably many, many years to come. I'm not worried about the opt-outs, but just initially, what am I looking forward to Sunday? Nolan Arenado, Cardinal red, baseball is back.
Yeah, it'll be good to see it see it become real, right? Even
exactly.
The photos of him in the gear are kind of blink twice and go, man, you're so used to seeing the photoshops of that it's it's surprising to see it in real life. And I mean, I haven't seen a lot of photos from Nolan when he was with the Rockies during spring training, but it sure seems like every photo that comes out of Jupiter, he's smiling or laughing or seems to really be enjoying himself. So I think we're going to see a motivated, excited, encouraged Nolan Arenado, and I imagine that he will have some special plays this spring that are pretty routine for him, but they give folks just a reminder in case they weren't quite aware of what kind of player this guy is. And then on the more analytical front, eager to see what he does at the plate here, not in terms of worrying about his home road splits or anything like that, but his shoulder. He hurt that shoulder really early into last season and admirably played through it, and it didn't hurt his defense at all. He was outstanding, but it did kind of tap into his power. So he says that his swing was pretty limited during that time. He says now he can finish that swing. He can get back to driving and lifting the ball. We should know, I think, pretty soon if his swing is producing that kind of power that has really been a big key to his career. So that's kind of other than the first and foremost, just seeing him go. Seeing how he looks at the plate, I think will be a good sign if he's feeling as good as he says he is.
And no surprise, yesterday Mike Schilt announcing that Jack Flaherty will be the opening day starter in Cincinnati, which, by the way, they're hoping to have at least 30% capacity at the Great American Ballpark for opening day. We'll see if that happens. But also, he will pitch the spring training, the Grapefruit League opener on Sunday. So really no surprise there, Ben.
No, and a great opportunity for Jack. And I think this is going to be a very interesting year for Jack for a few different reasons. One, he needs to prove that last year was more of a fluke than anything. He didn't pitch well last year. He wasn't their most reliable pitcher last year. Adam Wainwright was. Jack is in this spot where all eyes are on him because of, this arbitration battle. I thought his comments about the winning the arbitration against the Cardinals were spot on. He said, don't read too much into this, what this means about my future. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Right now, I'm worried about the moment. Well, if he's going to get paid a lot and that's what he wants and that's what he feels that he earns, he's going to need to go prove that he is that ace. He is that opening day starter. He is a guy who should be in the National League Cy Young Award conversation. If he has another year comparable to last year, then I don't know that folks will be losing so much sleep about, what his long-term future is. He had a weird year last year. A lot of people did. And that's understandable for a young pitcher in the weird season that was 2020. But this should be a more normal year. Guys are more prepared for the curveballs thrown by the pandemic. He needs to lock in and be the kind of guy that everybody thinks he can be. And if he does that, then I think all this fretting about his long-term future, Dan, will be a little short-sighted. I think if he pitches up to his capability, I would imagine that he and the Cardinals would have a very high chance of having a productive conversation about an extension going into 2022.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that's where a lot of fans are curious about this, the long-term future of Jack Flaherty, because his contract status has been kind of front page news, you know, going to arbitration, beating the Cardinals in arbitration, which doesn't happen very much. He's active on social media about some of the things that happen with the money in the game. So I do think that that is part of the storyline with Jack Flaherty from a fan's perspective this year.
For sure. And he's made it part of the storyline. So here's the thing. If you're going to point it, bring attention to it, and you're going to place yourself on the front lines of the conversation about the CBA and how you think it's unfair. Again, his point has always been that the CBA is kind of set up against younger players who are really good, not necessarily the Cardinals. It's all the teams. So he's never really had a personal beef with the Cardinals. He did celebrate the arbitration win. That ticked some people off, but I'll point out that it wasn't that long ago that that story was coming out about the front offices having their wrestling belt celebration for the team that suppressed salaries most through arbitration. There's some pettiness on both sides of this disagreement. I imagine the bulk of what the next conversation about the upcoming CBA will be about this conversation. So Jack has decided that he's going to push the envelope and try to be an advocate for what he thinks is right. And, you know, that's within his right. And I appreciate his willingness to do there, but there does come a point where you have to back it up and you have to prove that you should be the one leading that conversation. I think he's got all the potential in the world to be that. I think he's going to have a good year. But if he doesn't, then it will look a little bit like the cart was ahead of the horse here.
I'm interested in young players too. I want to watch Thompson. I want to watch Liberatore. I'm really interested in Nolan Gorman trying to make a transition to second base or maybe play a little outfield. Those are always kind of the fun parts of spring training that I miss not being down there, but have a chance to watch those games and see how it plays out.
I'm excited to see. So I'll head down Thursday and I'm excited to see how they use him where he plays. And I love his response here, Dan. I mean, he could have been, pouting. He could have been sad about this decision from the Cardinals to go out and get Nolan Arenado because it could directly impact his timeline. But he kind of said from the beginning, hey, as soon as he saw the deal go down, hey, can I learn how to play second base? I thought he was kidding, but he wasn't. Here he is getting some reps there. We saw him in corner outfield late this week. Willie McGee asking him if he had played there before and him saying no. But you know what? A lot of guys have broken into the league by playing different positions. If he hits as well as people think he can, then they'll find a place for him. The DH is probably going to be around, if not this season and future seasons, so that could open things up a little bit more. If he's the caliber of player that we've been led to believe, then there will be a way to use him, and he certainly sounds open and interested in finding whatever way that is. The Cardinals appreciate that, and I think it really increases his chances of having an impact sooner rather than later if the bat comes through.
Yeah, and the bat plays. If you hit, you play. And Moustakas has moved to second base. There have been other guys. I think of Brandon Moss when he's gone to, you know, the outfield and was not really an outfielder. If you hit and you hit for power, they will find a spot for you. And I think that's the way you have to look at it with Nolan Gorman.
I mean, we've seen Matt Adams play some left field. I think a lot of Cardinals fans wondered maybe – why didn't the Cardinals think about sending Luke Voit out there to see what he could have been able to maybe do in a corner outfield spot? You can play some pretty suspect outfield defense in a corner as long as your bat comes through, especially if you've got a team that is playing, Harrison Bader in center field and Nolan Gorman at third. You've got a lot of range there on both sides of a left fielder. I'm not saying it's the first choice for the Cardinals, but would it be all that surprising to see it at some point this season if Gorman is tearing it up? No, I wouldn't be that shocked. If the DH comes, which it still could, then maybe he gets some reps there, or Goldschmidt or someone does, and he plays some in the field a little bit at one of their positions. I mean, there's all kinds of possibilities. Kind of a similar thing for Carpenter. You know, he doesn't have an everyday spot, but if he hits, they will find ways to use him. But if he doesn't hit and Gorman does, then you could see that conversation, especially on the latter half of the year, being maybe a little bit more about finding ways for Gorman to hit and not Carpenter. So we'll see. But I like the approach. I like his willingness to be flexible. And I think it shows the Cardinals are kind of serious about trying to find a way to use this kid.
Yeah, and in terms of Carpenter, the way I have it, if Justin Williams does not make this team, and it looks like there could be a fourth option and a technicality potentially – if they needed to use that option. Then Carpenter with this, you know, I'd love to do at this time of year who I think might make the team. I got him being potentially the only left-handed bat off the bench. Now, you have some switch hitters in, let's say, Dylan Carlson that's probably playing every day, Tommy Edman probably playing every day, but it could be just one left-handed bat off the bench.
Yeah, I think he's going to get, you know, every opportunity to make the team. Clearly his straight road to being a starter is now gone. And Schilt even complicated matters a little bit more, I think rightfully so, by saying, no, we're not going to put Matt Carpenter out in the outfield. I don't know that that's going to be the best move for him, especially if he can play a little second. You can sit Edmund out there. He's got more experience out there, more recent experience out there anyway. I think with Carpenter, it's really just going to be, is the power there? Is the power on? And I don't know, you know, what results at spring training will convince the Cardinals that it is. He's had good springs before and then gone dark when the season started. He had a good summer camp last year and then it didn't translate over. They've got all the metrics in the world and all the video technology and all the exit velocities. They'll have a good idea when they leave spring as to if he's making solid contact or not, how his strength looks. The question will then be, how does he hold up? As you said accurately, it's not so much about where he starts, but how the season kind of eats away at him. And I think a way of having him be used not every day, not playing defense, maybe coming in for big at-bats or potentially starting once a week, or, you know, if they add the DH being in that mix, if he's hitting, I think it could allow him to have a more sustainable type workload at his age with maybe some power. But if the power is there, you know, Schilt's going to find a way to use him. What I don't think we will see is continued action for Carpenter if the results aren't there. And that's something that they probably would have had to do if they would not have gone out and get Arenado. But I think, you know, what he has said, speaking of Gorman being excited, I like Carpenter's attitude here. He's not being frustrated. He's not pouting. He's saying, look, I want to win and I gotta produce. He's owning it. And I think that he's fired up about proving some people wrong. He's in a role that should help him be able to do that in a more limited capacity. But if I had to predict what team leaves camp today, I do think he's definitely on it.
The rotation, the fifth spot, I'm going to go ahead and say the leader right now would be Carlos Martinez after hearing some comments about how they'd like to use or be careful with Alex Reyes. So I think it's Martinez's job again to lose. Would you agree?
Probably. I don't know that it should be. You and I, you know, have talked about this a bunch. I just like in the more recent seasons, what Carlos has done as a reliever, I feel like people maybe don't give it enough credit, especially with Hicks having not thrown in a game for so long. I kind of like the idea of having Carlos and Hicks together at the back end of a bullpen. I get it. You know, he wants to start, and you're probably going to get a better performance from him if he gets that opportunity. But I think maybe we're not talking about Daniel Ponce de Leon enough. I think he has been pretty impressive in a good chunk of his starts, and this could be a chance for him to kind of break through. If they want to use Reyes' scale back more, maybe they're kind of steering him away from that opportunity. But you know, Ponce is a guy who, you know, when he's good, he can be very good. And, you know, I don't know. I'm not ready to say quite yet that he's going to give you, you know, less productive starts than Martinez. With Carlos, it's not so much, you know, everyone talks about his focus and his preparation. It's his health. He's been on the injured list so many times since he was that two-time starter that I just wonder if he can hold up over the course of, you know, 162-game season and give you consistent quality starts. He's got the first inning issues. He's had the health problems. I know he pitched well this offseason. I'm hesitant to ever bet against a contract year, because, you know, that does have an impact on guys. So I can get why they want to go down there and give him the shot, but I'd like to see some impressive results this spring before I just say it's his job, because I think there's a legitimate competition there with some guys that include some guys we haven't mentioned. But I like Reyes as an option. If his limit is going to keep him out of that conversation truly, then I think Ponce deserves a shot.
Somebody said to me, and it was a great question, and they said, all right, the over-under is like 3.5, that there'll be four guys that get five saves. And I said, you know, I'll take the over. I think they could get there. You look at Jordan Hicks, they're going to ease him in, but by the end, yeah, he'll have five saves. Gallegos, yeah, I think so. Andrew Miller, yes. And I was thinking Reyes maybe being another guy. You got multi-inning saves and also beginning of the year, someone that maybe you like in the back end of the game in the ninth inning as you ease Hicks back in. I just think there's the potential for that. Maybe even Cabrera, Hennessy Cabrera. So I just think there's some guys there that are going to give them flexibility in the back end and getting those final three outs.
Yeah, it could be Cabrera, could be Gallegos. He could get some shots at that. And then, goodness, man, what if one of these young guys comes up and kind of carves out some sort of an interesting bullpen role? You know, Zach Thompson. What he could be in some sort of bullpen mix. We there are just so many different arms available that they're all talented, and it's going to be finding out which role works for everybody. So I'm with you on that. I will say this though, I wouldn't be surprised if Jordan Hicks is there sooner than we think. I think the Cardinals are saying, yeah, we got to play it slow, and that's smart. You don't ever want to hand a guy a closer job at spring training if there's a bunch of talented arms who could be helpful there. But I think he's going to be raring to go. And if he's throwing heat and if he looks good and he's holding up, then I think he probably gets to that back end sooner than later. The one guy who we should include, and maybe I'm the only one who's thinking this way, but man, I'll tell you what, Carlos Martinez had a +90 save percentage in his reps as a closer when he wasn't starting. And it oftentimes, you know, you were calling those games, Dan, it oftentimes wasn't exactly a straight line from the beginning of the save opportunity to the end. Sometimes it included some theatrics, but a 90%+ save percentage is pretty good. It's a pass-fail job, and he gets it done more times than not. So I guess I'm the only one maybe, but if I'm looking at somebody to hold the job until Hicks is ready to roll, then I got a hard time getting too far down that list before I put Carlos in there, unless he's just completely blowing people away at spring as a starter and he looks like my fifth starter who has the chance to be, you know, my top starter. And if he's that guy, then it's no question you start him because he can be an all-star starter. We've seen it. What you don't know is if he's going to hold up physically over the course of the season. But if he's doing it to start, you let him do it as long as he can and readjust if something happens. So I'm with you. It could be any closer. That could be a wide group, and it's kind of rare when you can start a season and say, well, you don't know for sure who the fifth starter is, and you don't know for sure who the closer is, and yet you don't feel very bad about that. I mean, a lot of teams, that would make you worry about the pitching, but I'm not worried about this pitching very much.
And we'll find out starting on Sunday. Switching gears, the Blues a couple of nights ago against the Kings, they lose. They're 1-5-1 in their last seven at Enterprise Center. Now, albeit you got a 1,500, 2,000 fans there, but it is home ice. You're at your home. You're in your own beds, those kind of things. They're not playing well at home, and it's another injury that the Blues have been besieged with. They got to weather the storm one way or another, but this is a really tough stretch of hockey without their best players.
Man, it's tough, and I understand people are down on them, and I get it. You know, the guys who are playing have to play well, but my goodness, you're talking about some walking wounded here and some key players, some high dollar players who are not in this mix. And it's doubly disappointing because this was supposed to be that stretch of the season where they can make a run here. You know, they had this 10 game stretch against the California teams, none of which were very good before Vegas came to town. And it was a chance to really, you know, solidify their place in the standings and I think make up some ground, but what was supposed to be a soft spot is now kind of a survival mode thing. And, you know, I don't know how to come down on this team too hard when their lines have been completely scrambled. They've got millions upon millions of dollars off the ice watching the guys who are on it. They've got, you know, they've got fourth liners playing where they shouldn't be. They've got guys on the ice we've never heard of, you know, trying to do big things. And, you know, what's the going to be the key, and I think this is maybe this is a Pollyanna approach here. They've got to have some guys emerge. They've got to have some guys who were overlooked play big. It's time for Torrey Krug to play like a stud. It's time for, you know, it's time for Stanford to stop turning the puck over and making silly mistakes and be the guy he can be. They've got to have some guys who step forward now who can be big impact guys come postseason. And if they don't, then they might not be there. I mean, it's a tough stretch, and you can never do much about injuries. But you got to have some of these depth guys play big. And if they do that, we saw that at the championship team. They had some guys who carried the load when the guys were hurt. And then they made big appearances and big plays in the playoffs because that's where that depth was tested. It was battle tested, and it came through in the end. So this can be something that helps your team in the long run. But unfortunately, it's just so many players all at once that they're just kind of trying to keep the water off the boat, and they're failing right now. If there is some good news, it kind of looks like Vladimir Tarasenko could be back soon. He is continuing to practice, and that's starting to make you wonder if he might, you know, beat this timeline, as he usually does coming back from injury. They could use something. They could use some good news, some sort of spark from a guy getting back sooner than expected, because it's going to be, you know, it's going to be more than a month before they have everybody out there that they need to. And if they don't find some way to get some traction going here, they're not going to like the position they're in when that happens.
I'm interested in your thoughts on SLU and Mizzou men's trying to make the big dance. SLU seems to be on the outside looking in now with a bad loss this past week. They've got Richmond tonight, Mizzou. It's still, you know, not lock solid in my mind. They had another loss against Ole Miss this past week at home, but what do you think about their chances, those teams, to make the big dance?
Both are disappointing right now. The Billikens, they really cost themselves by just no-showing that game at Dayton. I thought that was a real opportunity for them to kind of give the selection committee a chance to say, hey, we can't read too far into that two losses they had, because they've beaten those teams since they got their legs back underneath them after the outbreak. Well, then except they didn't. They no-showed Dayton. Then they couldn't beat VCU without one of VCU's best players. That would have been a quad one win that would have really helped them. They just didn't have enough gas down the stretch to get it done. They also got hurt from one of the more unfortunate calls you'll see in a game toward the end that gave VCU those two free throws at the end of the game, one of the later calls you'll see. But anytime you're putting a game in the hands of TV Ted Valentine, you're asking for trouble there, and the Billikens surely know that by now. So they're going to have – I think, you know, I'm not Jerry Palmer or Joe Lunardi, but I think they're going to have to win the A-10 tournament to feel good about making the tournament. They're going to have to go get that automatic bid, because I think their chance of getting an at-large is probably out of hand now. And that's unfortunate. I think it probably would have been different had they would have not missed a month without games. But between the amount of games they've played, the lack of quad one games they have, and their recent two losses, I think they're behind the eight ball a little bit. It's going to have to come in tournament. The good news there is that I think any team that shows up for the A-10 tournament could win the thing. There's just not a dominant team in the conference. They know what it takes to win that thing. Maybe they could, maybe they can find a way to do it again. For Mizzou, very disappointing, the loss to Ole Miss. They had bounced back by beating South Carolina. They had stopped their three-game losing streak. Jeremiah Tillman was back playing well. Xavier Pinson looked like he had kind of, you know, snapped out of his funk, was looking a lot better. Pinson didn't show up for the Ole Miss game again. I don't know what's going on with him. He is too important of a player for the Tigers to take games off or just look uninvolved or checked out. He's not driving. He's not attacking. When he's not doing those things, they don't look good offensively. And credit to Ole Miss, Kermit Davis now, he's 7-2 against Konzo, dating back to their first game, played against each other when Kermit was at Middle Tennessee and Konzo was at Missouri State. So he tends to plan for Konzo's teams well, but any team is going to look good against Missouri if Xavier Pinson is checked out. So I don't know if it's too late to get him to snap out of it, Dan, but they're going to have to not end the season on a skid. And if they do that and get bounced from the SEC tournament game one, then I think they're going to be in some bubble drama here. More importantly, even if they get the at-large and they've got some really quality wins, if they don't find a way to have Xavier Pinson checked in and active and playing his game, they won't last long in the tournament. So two good seasons here that are at risk of kind of going off the rails here soon. Hopefully both of these teams can get back on track and give some folks something to cheer about come March. We should mention Illinois too, because they've been playing better, although they blow a tire against Michigan State. And the worst news out of that comes to be that Io DeSumo has a broken nose. One of the best players in college basketball kind of gets roughed up on it. Was a pretty dirty play, and now he looks like he's going to be wearing the mask the rest, probably the rest of the season. So for a shooter, for a guy who is a, you know, a great clutch player, you just wonder how that injury is going to affect him and how it will could potentially hurt Illinois, which had been playing some pretty good basketball here lately.
Always fun to visit with you, my man. This is brought to you by the good folks at Blue Tail Medical Center, and you can find out more with the good folks at Blue Tail at bluetailmedicalgroup.com. That's bluetailmedicalgroup.com. I guess next week we'll be talking to you, and you'll be in sunny Florida covering the Cardinals.
Sounds good, brother. I'll be working on my base tan.
I love it. See you then.
All right, man. See
you. That's Ben Fredrickson here on Scoops with DannyMac.com.